It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Footballistically Arsenal. I'm Boyd Hilton. Sidekick Psychic Josh is there in his Soho House style library area. Hi, Josh.
Boyd, good to be here. You've got a lovely check shirt on today. This is unusual for you not to be. Is that Supreme or? Yeah, it is Supreme.
It is right. Supreme. Yeah, it is a Supreme. Yeah, to be fair. Yeah. Yeah, I was doing a professional Zoom call just before this, so I thought I'd better make an effort. This is as big an effort as it gets for me.
Is that behind over your shoulder? Is that Lacazette and Aubameyang? I've never seen that before.
Why haven't I shown you that? Yeah, my mate Elgar, one of my best friends, gave me this for my birthday. It's nice, isn't it? Yeah, it's a signed, framed photo of the Laca Alba shake hands thing. Yeah, it's good, isn't
Brilliant.
It?
Brilliant.
Yeah, I'm really proud. Yeah.
Far too rarely this season.
Exactly. We'll get on to that. That was the voice of Ricky Lawrence. Hi, Ricky.
Hello, Boyd. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. Very well. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
And only for the second time, I think, Max Goodborn is with us, known as, on Twitter, _ Maxwell G _.
That is correct. How are you doing, Boyd?
I'm doing well. How are you, Max?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. Bit. Well, we'll get onto the game, I'm sure.
Yeah. Your last tweet, I'm just going to tell listeners, your last tweet is, I'm going to read it out. Just finished episode 3 of Behind Her Eyes. TBH, to be honest, absolute shite. But hearing things of a mad ending going to persist for now. My question to you is, have you finished Behind Her Eyes yet on Netflix?
That was only last night, and it was episode 3.
Yeah,
I'm really struggling with it, to be honest.
Yeah,
hearing stuff of an ending, but one of my friends texted me today saying that the ending's not all that, so I don't even know whether it's worth persisting with now. But
all I'd say is to listeners and to anyone, the Behind Her Eyes is a 6-part thriller series on Netflix. And I think it's got the most demented ending of anything ever made on TV. So, you know, take that as you will. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying it is the most insane ending of a major TV drama you'll ever see. So I think it's worth persevering with, Max.
Okay, I'll persevere. Yeah. I had a couple of drinks last night, so that was where the confident tweet came from.
A couple of drinks is a good sign. Yeah, that's what you need. Anyway, we should talk about Arsenal. Last week I took ages. Last week we had Ben Winston on, who caused quite a stir in our mentions, didn't it, Josh? With his
there
rant.
Have been calls for a Ben Winston, Alan Alger pay per view podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe we'd finally make some money after all these years of doing this podcast, Boyd. Maybe that's the route.
Oh, that's an idea. Mm. Yeah, definitely. I'm sure they'll be up for that. And I've given Dan Balder, because he, for listeners, in case people don't know, like 7 years ago, I think pretty much, this podcast used to be me, Dan Baldwin, and Ben Winston, really, like most weeks. And Dan's gone on to be one of the most successful TV producers in the country. He produces, things like
Michael McIntyre's
yes, what was it called, that series? I love that series.
The Wheel.
Thank you. Yeah. My brain, because
it's
my
almost
brain's
like it's your job to know about these things.
I know. My brain is mush. Has gone to mush because I just had to do an hour and a half professional interview thing with eight people. But yeah, he did Michael McIntyre's Wheel, which is a brilliant series. I'm sure you'll agree, Ricky. Anyway, Dan's a very successful TV producer. And Ben is an incredibly successful TV producer in America, produces, what's his name? The Late Late Show with James Corden. And they used to be us three talking shit about Arsenal every week. And Dan was calling for Arsene Wenger's head, I think it's accurate to say, years in advance of, certainly when he actually did leave, well, was sacked. And Ben was a staunch defender of Arsene Wenger through thick and thin. And it became quite a regular weekly thing. And now, of course, they're separated by thousands of miles. But Ben was bringing back, Ben felt he had the receipts, as he used the phrase, about what we thought. And accused me of calling for his head, Arsene Wenger. I don't think I ever called for his head until about a few seasons before he actually went. But anyway, that's the context of last week's podcast. Ricky, what is your feeling? I'm going to start on the... we'll look at the match, yesterday's match in detail, well, in some detail. But what is your general feeling about the state of Arsenal in the context of now? Doesn't Thursday's game against Benfica, the second leg of this Europa League tie, our whole season kind of rests on that now. We're now in 10th. We're stranded in 10th. We've got some very difficult league games coming up. If we lose that game on Thursday, that's a big fucking nightmare, isn't it? For Arteta, for the club, how do we get in Europe, etc.? What's your feeling about the current state of play at the club?
In a word, yes. Like the Thursday's game is massive, and every Europa League game, hopefully there'll be obviously a few more. Yeah, but they're all going to define our season. I've obviously heard different arguments about the cup game against Southampton. I think that I was very disappointed with the way we went out of the cup. I know he only rested a few players, but the league's been done for a while. And, you know, we win a cup and you think, oh, maybe we could finish in the top six. And then we obviously lost to Wolves and Villa and again yesterday. And you realise that, you know, we're not going to finish in top four. Even the top six is... I had a glance at the table today. We're far off. I'm sure Josh will know the amount of points that we are off sixth, but it doesn't excite you. Like, you know, when I watched Arsenal beat Leeds, when we beat Leeds 4-2, it wasn't exciting, despite the fact we scored four goals for the first time in a long time. It's not exciting. What could be exciting now is a cup run. And we could have had two cup runs. We've gone out of one. Thursday is massive, absolutely massive for us. And it is for Arteta. I think he would have rested more players, but I imagine I just have a hunch that he's under a bit of pressure from the board to not finish, you know, eighth, ninth, tenth, because, you know, what's the lowest we finished? Eighth, and that was under him, albeit not the whole season, in donkey's years. He can't have finishing tenth of Arsenal on his CV.
We're 6 points behind Liverpool and Everton. Liverpool sixth, Everton seventh. Both got 40 points. We've currently got 34. We're 2 points behind Spurs. They've got a game in hand. And we play them, obviously, quite soon.
Yeah.
So that's the situation. Max, Josh was taking the piss out of me a bit, both on this podcast and
I've never, ever taken the piss out of you. Fair enough, I can take it, mate.
For saying that I'd called for Arteta's head when we were in that terrible run. Well, I never did. I didn't. I just, we had some guests on who did call for his head at that time, that terrible run. Do you remember? But now I feel, and he was taking the piss because I said, you know, I liked the Leicester City, Brendan Rodgers, I thought was doing... he's doing a brilliant job with Leicester, you know. Yeah. And I'm not saying... I think at one point I said, you know, if I thought Brendan Rodgers would come to Arsenal, you know, you'd kind of give it a go. But now I feel like I'm really worried for Arteta that if it all goes wrong on Thursday, and let's face it, we're quite capable of imploding in that game on Thursday, it's going to be really difficult for him. What's your feeling about it?
Yeah, I mean, just almost going back to the last point, you mentioned a lot of the teams that we're sitting behind, Liverpool, Everton, Spurs, have all had, you know, dreadful seasons.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of Arsenal fans at the moment, there was a lot of fans yesterday like, oh, yeah, I would have taken 1-0 down you know, with 15 minutes to go. And it's like, this isn't how Arsenal should be thinking. Mm. I'm not convinced by Arteta. And I feel like, you know, if we do lose to Benfica, which, as you say, we're capable of doing, we should have put them away in that first leg. We had, you know, we've got more than enough quality. They're not a great side. Like, when you look at the Vertonghen and Otamendi, we should be taking that all day. So I'm not convinced by it. I feel like with Arteta, there's just been too many bad performances, too many performances where we've not yielded enough attacking chances. And it feels like we need every one of our good players to be playing to really have a good performance. We need like Saka, we need Thomas Partey, we need Emil Smith Rowe. And I just feel like there's too many decisions that I'm watching as a fan that's not a manager, that Arteta just keeps doing them. And it annoys me. Like yesterday, for example, like putting Pepe on the right hand side with Bellerin, which is consistently not work. And don't get me started about Bellerin, because I could go on all day. But Pepe, I think, you know, this divides a lot of people's opinion. I think he's a really good player. I think, you know, he's shown flashes of being amazing. And when we give him a run of games, and when he's got confidence, like naturally talent wise, he's one of our best players. You know, he can just bend it top corner when you give him the opportunity to do so. But then to stifle him and then, you know, give him opportunities where Willian's playing at 10 and Bellerin's behind him, plays bad, doesn't get in the team for 5 games, things like that. There's so many problems in our team at the moment. It's so evident, but we're just miles away from the Arsenal I know and love and the football that I know. It hurts to watch, really, because, you know, I suppose, you know, it's hard, really, because so many other teams are having bad seasons and the fans aren't being there impacts everything as well. So, I know it's not an easy job for Arteta at all. I know that. But it's you know, if you're asking me if I'm happy at the moment, far from it, really.
Mm. Is it that bad, Josh? I do feel slightly sorry for Arteta. Like, I'm still in two minds about him, because on one hand, we're playing much better. I think in general, he's improved the team since the pits of, you know, the terrible run. But he was at fault. It was quite largely, I think, to an extent, his fault why we were in that terrible run. I think he has to take a lot of the blame for that. And now, I know what Max means. Some of the decisions are a bit... So what did you think about not changing, playing exactly the same team from the league in the Europa game? Was really a shock, wasn't it? Like, that famously hasn't happened for
He changed the centre-backs. Both centre-backs.
Well, yeah.
Oh, no, I meant in the, from the last league game to the Europa game. Those two games in a row. Yeah. Well, which meant they then had to make four or five changes for this game. Josh, what did you think of that decision particularly?
I think one of the biggest problems all season is that we haven't had a front three that anyone can agree on at any point. We have had our best striker, Aubameyang, predominantly out of form, apart from, you know, a little hat trick against Leeds, which was, you know, I think we all hoped and thought might immediately inspire him back into some great form. But there was a pretty poor miss in the game against Benfica. And then he was, you know, fairly inactive, let's say, against Manchester City. So I just think that's been the biggest problem, because, you know, even with, you know, a Smith Rowe, who has rightfully had a lot of praise from you and many other people, you know, didn't find himself involved on Sunday. Pepe, you know, Max just alluded to, glimpses. Lacazette, you know, in January was dragging us through probably our best period of the season, was the one getting goals, and then suddenly he's the one, you know, not getting in the team. So all season, that's been the problem, hasn't it? And it probably felt like on the opening day when Willian was getting those assists and, you know, we were playing great, and you probably thought we're going to have a pretty settled front, you know, three or four that we're going to know who's playing. And it just hasn't transpired. And for me, that's the bigger problem than the defenders. And we've, you know, we've had issues. Tierney's been out. David Luiz has had sending offs. We've had injuries. That's the problem, isn't it? Like, if you look at this season, we've defensively been a lot stronger. It's going forward, we're not there. And 34 points from 25 games, we have lost more games than we've won. We've lost as many games as Fulham in the Premier League. it won't be that we don't get into, you know, the top six, seven because of losing to Man City. It will be, you know, fair enough across the season. And
yeah,
I don't know. I think Arteta is definitely getting a lot more goodwill than many other people, you know, would have been getting in this situation. I think, you know, had we got your friend Brendan Rodgers, who in December you said you'd take tomorrow if he was available, or Ancelotti had come to us, I think it'd be under huge pressure for the points total. And you can say we're only 6 points off Everton and Liverpool, but Everton have got games in hand. Villa have got games in hand. I mean, we might.
Well, so were you agreeing with me that Brendan
might be Leeds might go above us? We might be 11th, like with complete.
Yeah. Sorry, Josh. Just to make it clear, are you agreeing that Ancelotti and Brendan Rodgers would have done better with this team than our
No,
team?
I'm saying I think they'd be under more pressure had they arrived in exactly this same situation. If they were at the club, I just think there's goodwill towards Arteta.
Right.
Yeah, and I maybe rightfully so from the FA Cup last year, and there's been enough glimpses. And I don't want him to go, not at all. I think we'd definitely give him until the end of the season.
I think, yeah,
I'm scared for Thursday because you know, Arsenal seasons, you know, for a long time would end in March, and we'd have probably half a dozen games left, and it would be like a bit dispiriting. The idea that we'll have 13 league games to meander to like somewhere between 8th and 12th is a little bit frightening. Although it was good news today that we might be there for the final game of the season. Did you see that, Boyd?
Yeah.
And it would still end in March, Josh, if that's any consolation.
What ends in March?
Josh said our season normally ends in March.
It would still
end in March, but mainly because the season started a month later.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
That's a good point.
I think on the point about Rodgers and Ancelotti, I think no Arsenal fan would, well, no football fan would kid themselves that Ancelotti and Rodgers wouldn't have done a better job. Brendan Rodgers is
incredible.
Back-to-back unbelievable seasons thus far with Leicester. They're still in the FA Cup, the Europa League, and what are they, third in the league.
Unbelievable.
With basically one striker, and he's got done brilliantly out of him, Maddison, Barnes, etc. Anyway, but this is what we got with managing someone that had never managed a minute of football before. Like, mm-hmm. He literally never managed a game of football, and we took a chance on him. So there was every chance it was going to go terribly wrong, and it could still go right. But I think we're taking advantage of the fact that situation that he's a rookie and he's there whilst we're getting rid of rubbish players. Like, I think so many Arsenal fans were so happy with our January because we got rid of Mustafi and Kolasinac. We won't go into Ozil, but you know he's left, and I think that was a massive positive of this season that we've got rid of some of the dead weight. There's still, in my opinion, a lot of dead weight still to go. But look at Spurs; they're 2 points ahead of us, okay, with the game in hand, and some of their fans absolutely despise Mourinho, but they're only two points ahead of us. So either their fans think they should be doing a lot better, or Arsenal fans are very nice to be, like Josh said, a lot of goodwill is being shown to Arteta because I don't hear the amount of Arsenal fans wanting Arteta out as I do Spurs fans wanting Mourinho.
But Max, you said you're fairly critical of Arteta, but do you think, this is what I feel sorry for him, just quickly though, right?
Yeah.
Just think about this. Like, Aubameyang had an open goal in that Benfica game. That was the most incredible miss you'll ever see. And that's not Arteta's fault. Like, on any day, you'd expect. And if he'd have scored that goal, I firmly believe he would have gone on to win that match. Right? Benfica were fairly shit, as you suggested. They're not a great team, right?
No.
And that's not his fault that Aubameyang missed that chance, which was unbelievable. And then in this game, in the City game, I know, and it's City, right? But we let in a goal in the first 90 seconds.
Yeah.
And he said in the post-match interviews that was a tactical thing that just the players just forgot in the first. And they do have these moments, our players, of unbelievable lack of concentration. We suddenly just do not concentrate. And that's felt to me like what happened with that first goal. So that's not his fault, is it? So are you blaming him for those kind of things? I feel like he's an unlucky manager.
Look, football's like that, isn't it? You're going to have these chances that games hinge on. It's hard to say, really. Like, I don't blame Arteta for Aubameyang missing that. You know, he's cold. You know, he's been cold this season a lot of the time. He hasn't been the Aubameyang, you know, bar that Leeds game, which, to be honest, a couple of goals were quite fortunate, really. But, you know, he's not the Aubameyang that we know and love. Yeah, I don't know. It's a tricky one, really, isn't it? Like that City game, though. Like, I just there's things that Arteta does. Like, how many times this season? Like, I listened to Arseblog today, and they mentioned that Man City kicked off the game. You know, kept the ball for minute 45. Ball in from Mahrez. Nodded home by Raheem Sterling. 1 minute 45 seconds on the clock. Fine. The rest of the game, like, we've not really laid a glove on them. They didn't really get out in second gear. We didn't really look like scoring. And, you know, in comparison, we get the ball. We kick off for the second half. What do? We do what we always do. Goes back to the centre half. Rob Holding. And we toss it out to the left and end up losing the ball. Just little things like that that are grating on me a little bit, I think. But no, I hear you. Like, these little individual things, but we're good. We're a good enough team that we should be able to beat that Benfica side.
We should have beaten Benfica. Yeah. And I think his team selection for that game, you know, because we did play really well against Leeds, didn't we, Ricky? But we played really well against Leeds, but Leeds are like, for me, like if we played Leeds every week, we'd be top of the league because they literally played completely into our hands, don't they? The way they play, it's like a dream for us to play against that opener team. And we played really well and Aubameyang scored his hat-trick, blah, blah, blah. To then play the same team, I could understand it because what, you know, if you seize upon, if you score four goals, then fair enough. But now it's like, I don't know. Now I feel like he hasn't really planned for this return leg. Does he? You know, I don't know.
I don't see the issue with him playing the team that beat Leeds 4-2 to play against Benfica. I think the potential bigger issue is that he didn't
4-2. You're right. Yeah.
He didn't rest. You know what? He didn't make 10 changes yesterday. But I think he was in a bit of a catch 22. I think he knows that the Benfica game was massive, the second leg, but he couldn't throw the game yesterday. You know, like, Saka was started every game for as long as I can remember, but he has to. He's been our best player this season by a country mile.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, he probably could have played Lacazette ahead of maybe Aubameyang or Saka, but he probably felt like, you know, too many changes and it does look like he's basically giving Man City the win.
It's the Xhaka. I would say the midfield for me was the real issue.
So this is the this is my issue. I understand what Josh meant about, you know, our front three hasn't been consistent, but I think our midfield and centre back partnerships. I feel like if you ask 10 Arsenal fans, you know, what your favourite centre back partnership would be, you'd get four or five, even five different answers. We only have four centre-backs. Like, no one probably knows what their best centre-back, or no one agrees. You would struggle to beat most teams in the league with a centre-midfield partnership of Xhaka and Elneny.
Right.
So right. What chance have they got of beating Man City? Like, the fact that it was only 1-0 is probably a miracle. Like, that midfield, a friend messaged me today. He lives in Hong Kong. And he said he woke up this morning and watched the game as live and he was berating Xhaka. And the thing is, like, Xhaka, unfortunately, makes me sad watching Arsenal. And you throw Elneny in next to him, it's just so dull, so boring. Yeah. There's just no... And, okay, we've got a party, but in my opinion, he hasn't shown much yet, but that's mainly due to injuries. I know people are excited about him, and I'm sure he'll be a brilliant player for us, but he's been injured the majority of the time. And Ceballos is hot and cold. 1 minute he'll have a great game, the next he'll go missing.
But I agree. But I was incredulous that he put Xhaka and Elneny together for this game.
It's just a painful watch, more than anything.
Yeah, it's like, painful. But I do think he has to take. I mean, Ceballos played really well in the previous game, and I just think it's insanity to play that Xhaka Elneny.
Yeah,
partnership.
But he's got three. He's got three options. One, because Partey's injured, and he probably thought Elneny's more defensive. Xhaka is always looks like he's always there. I can't remember. I'm sure Ceballos and Elneny have played together, but I feel like Xhaka or Partey have played every game for a while now. So it's always going to be Xhaka. And you probably thought Elneny's a bit more defensive. We're playing the best team in the country. I'll play Elneny. And it's just so uninspiring. Like, it's unenjoyable to watch, unfortunately.
Not only that, but when you go 1-0 down, what's your hope then?
And he took an incredibly long time to make a substitution, didn't he? I think this is the substitutions is becoming a bit of an issue, I think, isn't it? Like, what? Why is you 1-0 down? City had kind of ground into nothingness, I felt like, in the second half. You know, there was a period where it's a weird period where they almost like couldn't even be bothered to, like, you know, have a go at us. And they were just like, and we had more possession than them, I think, in the second half, actually. I think it was 51% to 49% in the second half. But he didn't change it for a long time. Was it 70th minute, maybe, when I think he made a change?
73rd.
I just feel like, what, you know, it just that was just ridiculous. I feel like he has a, go on, Josh. Yeah.
No, I mentioned earlier about the uncertainty of who's going to be playing at the top end of our pitch. And it seems like, barely, 6-7 weeks ago, when Martinelli came back in and there was this huge excitement, and months we'd been speaking about the return of Martinelli. And okay, a slight setback, an injury, but very clearly fit enough to have been on the bench in the last month. I thought yesterday was a game to give Martinelli time, because if you are sort of accepting that Man City are on a run of 17 straight wins, even Arsenal's best teams of the last decade or two would have probably struggled, then mix it up a bit. If you're not going to play, you know, Martinelli anyway in the next leg, give him game time. Give us something to get a little bit excited about. And I found it again odd that he, you know, not only didn't start, but even, you know, didn't get on for any game time. Because much as it was a 1-0, it was the most emphatic 1-0 I can remember. Like, it felt like at no point. I mean, we could have still been playing, yeah, you know, hours and hours later. we wouldn't have been scoring, would we? It was just so easy. But, like, that's not a disgrace. Man City are incredible. Yeah. We've got Rob Holding, who cost, and you know, I'm not getting down the road of he only cost 2 million, but he cost 2 million from Bolton. Pablo Mari cost under 4 million from Flamengo. Forget the fact that they've got John Stones and Ruben Diaz. They've got Laporte out, who costs 50 million. They've got Nathan Ake, who costs 40 million. Oh, like, yeah. They're just a world away from what we have to deal with, and that's okay. But then I just felt, you know, mix it up sufficiently so you leave us with all guns blazing. No one's in any doubt what we're going to do on Thursday, and the players are a bit more fresh, because it's everything now, isn't it? Like, our whole excitement for 4 months of Arsenal, and it, you know, until August basically, is based on if we win a game on Thursday. That's how I feel.
Yeah, of course we were playing by far the best team, you know, of the moment, and I don't think the team for 1 second felt they could win that game or get anything out of that game. But I think that comes from the top. I don't think he did either. I felt like Arteta didn't believe it for a second either, which is why, for me, like, when, you know, in City, when City did kind of like give up almost in the second half to some extent, well, they certainly weren't bothering much, put it that way.
They took the ball off on 63 minutes.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right. And, you know, we could have seized the day. Another manager might have tried to seize the day at that point on 60 minutes, you know, 63 minutes, rather than wait for 70. And these things, I don't know, these things are quite telling, aren't they? I think, you know, that he just kind of sat there and just, I don't know, just, and I found the, I have to mention the Pep loving, the Pep interview afterwards, where he's like going on about how I've learned things from Arteta and I'm going to go away and think, I'm like, you are so patronizing. That is such bullshit. Like, you are, you know, like, what the fuck has he learned from that? Nothing whatsoever. He was being so over the top about how brilliant, what a genius Arteta is. I thought it was a bit embarrassing.
Yeah. So you can tell when managers are always happy to give interviews like that, it's after they've just beaten you.
Right? Yeah.
I think part of my issue with Emery was that he'd almost set us up like you'd expect, like in most games, you'd expect Burnley to set up against, you know, yeah, Arsenal away. And it was dull. Yeah. And I think Arteta has done a lot of good things with Arsenal, but I think overall from game to game, it is too dull. It is too boring. And that's why Arsenal at the moment.
But it was fine against Leeds. It was great against Leeds.
Yeah,
it was against Benfica.
Similar to what I hear, and Max even alluded to it before, Pepe has always got flashes of brilliance. I've never heard a player have somebody have been described as having flashes of brilliance so many times. Like, for me, Pepe's played, is nearly at the end of his second season, and all I've heard of him is having flashes of brilliance. Like, I know Saka's a bit of a different case because he's unbelievable, but he's done more for Arsenal. He did more for Arsenal, Saka, when he played his first like 3 months of football, than Pepe has done in 2 seasons. And it's just, I understand Pepe didn't put the 72 million price tag against him, but you know, he's just another one for me. He's just not good enough.
But Max is right, isn't he? He plays better on the other side. He's played well on the other side in the last couple of games.
Yeah, he was all right for two or three games. Great, but
then he was dropped, which is, you know,
I was just wanting to say, like, I alluded to it a little bit earlier, but I really think Bellerin struggles, not because he's better on the left-hand side, but because Bellerin doesn't offer him what a fullback should. How many times yesterday did you see Bellerin trying to play as a centre mid, like inside? He does that so often. Like before, Bellerin under Emery, we were so used, he was absolutely lightning quick, wasn't he? Always like got hit in the byline so quick, balls into the box. His final ball is so poor now. He's a great guy. Like love him in everything he does off the pitch. He's Spanglish and love.
His H&M clothes. Are you wearing any of his H&M clothing line right now?
Looks like it. Yeah. No, he's been at us for so long, and I think sometimes it's hard to put that against him.
Mm.
And I think people, like, you don't really see him get criticised like he should. But I feel like if we had a really proficient right back, you look at Cancelo yesterday, like the likes of Ricardo Pereira for Leicester, your favourite team, Boyd.
Yeah.
I think we're really like short of a good right back. And Pepe will work so much better with Cedric on the other side. And I think it's chalk and cheese, really. It really is.
Bellerin's interesting. Yeah, he just has some games where I think the problem is there is no link up, is there, between him and Pepe? I mean, that is absolutely where, yeah. Even if you think, even when Bellerin plays well, which I think he played well, I think
against Leeds.
He played well against Leeds, I would say. Yeah. And sometimes he makes marauding runs, you know, and the final ball isn't there. Sometimes, you know, he scored recently, didn't he? You know, so even, you know, so it's like there's no link up with Pepe at all. It's almost like they don't like each other. Yeah. And I feel like neither of them is really in sync at all. And that's weird if you're going to play them. And then you look at the other side, it's like the difference, the unbalanced nature of us yesterday was extraordinary because on the other side, you know, it was amazing. In every single attack, you felt Tierney and Saka could make something happen every time. And that, you know, it didn't quite happen. But the contrast was amazing between those two and Bellerin and Pepe. I saw one of the football journalists tweeted that Pepe was trying desperately and making runs constantly and was always looking for the ball, and they just weren't giving it to him. Bellerin wasn't giving it to him. And so, again, you know, I kind of slightly feel sorry for him. What do we think of Odegaard? Because... I thought in his last game before this one, he was made some amazing passes, Rick. You know, some Ozilian. I know you're a big fan of Mesut. Some Mesut-esque passes, astonishing. But he was crap yesterday, wasn't he, against City? Like I just thought he completely. I mean, everyone, not many players were good, but he wasn't great. And I thought he should have been substituted way sooner than he was.
I definitely agree with the substitution. I agree. Yeah, he had a poor game yesterday. It happens. I think Josh alluded to the fact that Man City had. He just named two players that cost almost 100 million that weren't playing for them yesterday. Whereas we're signing, we've got two players on loan from Real Madrid. I don't, you know, I understand what happens. It irks me a bit. It particularly irks me the fact that, you know, we've given Sabas number 8 and Odegaard number 11. It doesn't sit right with me that we've got these two players on loan that have got first-team number shirts, but that's maybe a bit of a sad point.
At least neither of them's a 10. Then you'd be absolutely furious with that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I think that William will take that shirt next season.
Oh, God, don't. Don't say that. Don't say that. My main positive, is that William did not come on at all.
Without going down the Ozil route, we signed, we had Ozil. Arteta, obviously, you know, he left. But we've got someone who's earning almost as much as him, who's offered absolutely nothing. You might as well have just stuck with Ozil for 1 more year rather than have William for 3 now. Anyway, Odegaard was poor. The whole team weren't great yesterday. I think it's funny. Josh mentioned about Aubameyang being off form, and for me, if you name your Arsenal first team, he has to start every single game. You know, he's still our best player, in my opinion. He hasn't been our best player this season, but he's our best player. And I think it's funny because when he was playing on the left wing every game, people were saying, play him up front, play him up front. He plays up front, and then people moan because he hasn't got the hold-up play, which I do agree with. His hold-up play is poor. His all-round game isn't poor, but his hold-up play is poor. Mm. However,
Lacazette's hold-up play is much better, isn't it? I
mean, much better, much better. But yeah. Although he's obviously had a poor season, but he is an unbelievable finisher. He's proven it, not just in England, but, you know, in a few different countries. He's an unbelievable footballer, and he has to start for Arsenal. And when you talk about teams having players, building a team around a player, yeah, okay, he's, what, 30, 31 years old now, but you still have to do everything you can to get the best out of him. And okay, his missed chance, like the Benfica chance was massive, but he's dragged us to where we are pretty much. Like, look at the FA Cup. You said Arteta's a lucky manager, which I don't necessarily agree with, but...
Unlucky. I think it's unlucky.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with, because, you know, if you look at things like the FA Cup, like, you know, Chelsea went down to 10 men. We were very lucky with that. We rode our luck against Man City. But I think, you know, Aubameyang scored the three goals in the last two of the semi-final and the final that basically won us the FA Cup. Okay, he hasn't scored so many goals this season, but he's unbelievable. And we have to, as the manager, Arteta should be doing all that he can. I'm not saying he's not, but he should be doing all that he can to get the most out of Aubameyang. And he scored 8 Premier League goals this season, and 3 of them were in one game. Not blaming that all on Arteta, but it's that something somewhere has gone really wrong.
I feel like with Aubameyang, the setup like against Leeds needs to be absolutely on the money for him to be playing at centre forward. Like he needs the team built around him in that aspect. That's why we have sort of shafted him off to the left, because when we were having that really barren bad spell and he wasn't scoring, like it was like, oh, get him on the left because then he might get involved a bit more. But yeah, it's been left wanting a lot this season, really.
What do you think? We'll go to a break in a minute. What is your upfront lineup? Because scoring goals has been our problem, hasn't it? I mean, Josh is right. Josh mentioned it ages ago, but he's absolutely right. I mean, defensively, there's always going to be, like, you know, that the City goal in a minute 45 seconds was classic Arsenal in many ways. But generally, our defence has not been that much, has been better, you know, than it has been for some time, and is about on a level with other teams around us in the league. But it's our lack of goals has been the problem, hasn't it? Who would you put up play up front, Max? Who would be your, you know, who would you put up there? Because it does keep changing. It's true.
What is this just in general?
Your preferred? Do you think? Well, A, do you think he should then rotate constantly? Are you with? Do you agree with Rick that Aubameyang should be playing every game? And it's a case of building around.
I would still be having Aubameyang up front. Yeah, mm. I would still be having Aubameyang down the middle. And then I suppose for me, I would have Pepe on the right, Saka on the right, Pepe on the left, and one of Emile Smith Rowe or Odegaard in the middle.
Hmm.
I love Emile Smith Rowe, and I think he's been class a lot this season. It's hard for him. Like, I feel like there's so much being asked of him. You know, he got thrusted into the team, and where like a Phil Foden's had like really good time to come in like over the last couple of years and show flashes of brilliance and finally like getting like a real good run of the team. It's like, oh, we're going to have to push Emile Smith right in there and he just get flogged every game. So it's a hard one for him, and I worry about him because he had a long injury last time, didn't he? Well, I think, Josh, we went to the Forest game when he got injured.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Wow, amazing, amazing memories of being in a stadium. I think I'm with both Max and Rick on this in terms of, you know, Aubameyang, you know, being the leading line. I think he has to be. But right now, I'd be tempted to go back to having him on the left and having Lacazette up top and playing Saka. I just think Lacazette dragged us through a difficult period in January, was in good form and amongst the goals and probably deserved to, you know, keep a little bit more of his place in the team. What about you, Boyd?
I'm with you a bit. Yeah, I think Aubameyang prefers playing with Saka. I think he looks happier.
Yeah. When,
and I'm not saying it's because they link so well, although there have been games, people forget, you know, was the away game in the, when we, before we reached the final of the Europa League last season, when they played brilliantly together, I think, you know.
Valencia.
That's it, yeah.
Valencia.
Yeah, that's right. So it does happen that they can play, that they can kind of link up with each other. But I just think, if Aubameyang's happy, then I think he's much plays better. And I think he's happier when Lacazette's on the pitch. So I kind of agree with you. I'd have maybe Laka, Aubameyang, Emil Smith Rowe, and Xhaka. Yeah, I don't know. And maybe Odegaard and Smith Rowe can kind of alternate, because that's why Odegaard's come in, clearly. Go on, Rick.
Sorry, boy. I don't think it's necessary, like, to have a solid, you know, these are the front four we always want to play. I think it depends on the game. Sure. My issue, you mentioned about our defence being better, and I agree, but the problem I think there goes into the fact that we moan about, or people moan about, Aubameyang's hold-up play. We don't necessarily want our striker to be holding the ball up all the time.
Yeah.
You
shouldn't be coming that deep to know.
Some teams, like, look at Harry Kane, unbelievable hold-up play because of the way Spurs play, but look at the amount of Spurs fans that moan about the way Spurs play. Firmino, you know, plays in that false nine or whatever, you know, but he doesn't hold the ball up as much. You know, they play, Liverpool again, they're a brilliant team, but not every striker needs to hold the ball up. It depends on how you play. I think that's why our defence is better, or at least our defensive record is better, because the way our team plays is that you rely on our striker to hold the ball up. But against Leeds, we didn't have Aubameyang holding the ball up. He just put the ball in the back of the net. Yeah. So in certain games, Lacazette will do it brilliantly. But in other games, you want Aubameyang maybe through the middle. But I think that's why, you know, I think Rob Holding is probably, I wouldn't mind if he was our fourth choice centre-back and played in the League Cup, or, you know, in an FA Cup game when we were playing Blackpool away or whatever. But in my opinion, it's a great signing because you spent $2 million on it, but he shouldn't be playing for Arsenal week in, week out. And we're almost having to compensate for having a weaker back line and a midfield of sometimes Xhaka and Elneny by being a more defensive team, which is my problem with Arsenal as a rule. If we were more on the front foot and we have defenders that you could rely on and a midfield that you could rely on, we wouldn't have to worry about Aubameyang's hold-up play or the fact that we've got Rob Holding at the back. We could worry about having, don't again go into the Saliba debate, because I've never seen him kick a football, but we could like to see us have two good centre-backs. We've got Tierney, Bellerin, I agree, I love him, but he's struggled. And a good centre midfield where you can say, don't worry about, you know, getting back all the time about it. Aubameyang often spends more time in our box than he does in the other teams. And that's why we have a better defensive record, because we have players that are having to fit into the shape that Arteta wants, which I believe is a general more defensive one than the one I like Arsenal to play.
Okay, well, fairly damning. Let's take a quick break and we'll talk more about the future of Arsenal after this break.
If you want an e-bike that doesn't look like it's made for the shopping precinct, something that's less Mr. Bean and more Steve McQueen, check out the range of bikes from London-based Cooler King. From dope 250-watt city bikes to Harley Bobber-inspired 750-watt beasts that can tear your face off while leaving your smile intact. Cooler Kings are made in limited numbers, yet highly affordable. Check them out now on the web at cooler.bike, or find them on Instagram with hashtag CoolerKingBike. Cooler.bike. E-bikes that are cool AF.
And we're back from the break. Josh?
I just wanted to be a little bit positive, Boyd, about the news from Boris today. Just does
Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister?
Just in terms of, like, they've said 10,000 fans may get into the stadiums from, I think it said May 17th. So I think, Ricky, is it right? We've got one game, Brighton, on the final day of the season. So we can all be there to try and cheer them on tonight. So it's quite something to look forward to for our for our mid-May trip to the Emirates. I would like to go now. I really would like to go. It's been a year, as it has for so many people, apart from the couple of thousand that went for the games. But it's quite a nice feeling to think there'll be 10,000 at that game, Boyd.
There was a funny moment in the commentary yesterday where Gary Neville said something like, if there was been a crowd there at the Emirates, they would have pulled Arsenal through or something. To I was like, really? I was like, I mean, much as I'd love to have been there, and you know, sometimes, but that was quite a funny moment.
Understood what he was getting at, in that you would think, okay, and the people that Max mentioned earlier about saying, okay, we could have taken being 1-0 down with 15 minutes to go, because then we go. Then the crowd gets on the back and sort of encourages going forward and almost tuts. And if a ball goes backwards or to sides, you can build a bit of an atmosphere of trying to force the team forward. And it didn't feel like that. I just felt there was no belief that the team, they were kind of like, you know what, we'll get beat 1-0. We'll start thinking about Thursday. And I just think that's what Neville meant. Not that we have the greatest atmosphere in the Premier League and, you know, it's unrivaled anywhere.
Yeah, I thought there was a lot of people were like, because we lose by three every single time we play them in the last five years, that there was a huge advance was to only lose by one. But I don't take that much positivity from it. Indeed.
So I hope that we'll all look forward to that. The other thing that was interesting, I sort of only really noticed afterwards, Nketiah has just been, he's like bombed out the squad even yesterday, wasn't he? I mean, you know, this was someone who was getting quite a bit of game time not that long ago and being like the option off the bench. So I wonder about the breakdown in relationship that might be going on there. Might be another
is it
one.
That, or is it just where, who would you have him on the bench instead of? I don't know. Also, because
there was kind of Smith Rowe, Willian, Martinelli. It was kind of like, well, you're not going to need them. I don't know. I just thought Nketiah at least is, you know, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting to see that he's a.
I think Nketiah is going to be sold in the summer. I think fair enough. Don't you?
What do you think his level is? Do you think he'll stay lower Premier League? Ricky, what do you think?
I think lower Premier League. I think West Brom maybe. You know,
they're not going to be in the Prem.
Yeah, I mean, I always, when players go out on loan, it's interesting because I think it tells a lot about that player. And he just played second fiddle to Patrick Bamford in the Championship, albeit Patrick Bamford's had an unbelievable season, but he barely got a sniff there in the Championship and ended up coming back to us. And I don't mean to sound negative, he's not good enough to play for Arsenal. The same way that Joe Willock isn't good enough to play for Arsenal every week, the same way that Maitland-Niles isn't good enough, and the same way that Reece Nelson, these young players, it's lovely to have them through, but to come through. But I allude to Saka. He's just made them all look, not silly, but he clearly is good enough to play for Arsenal, where like Reece Nelson, who apparently didn't want to go out alone or whatever, he's not good enough to play for Arsenal every single week, and that's what we need. We don't need players that, you know, are going to warm the bench. And Nketiah apparently isn't even good enough to do that. If we can get any money, whatever we can get for him, take it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Max, that's not a controversial. You know, he seems like a lovely guy, you know, I feel, you know, but you've got to be fairly ruthless in these things, haven't you? I don't think Nketiah it doesn't feel like a future Arsenal player. No. So I think he's had enough chances, hasn't he?
That's what I was going to say. He has had enough chances. And you think about, you know, big games this season, big chances for him to step up where he could have really put himself firmly in the eye of the squad. Like, he had the Everton game, I remember, on the turn of Christmas, where he missed a big chance, I remember, in that game. The Southampton game, the FA Cup, where Aubameyang had, you know, the situation with his family, again, in that game, missed big chances. So he's not been short of opportunities in the team. And, you know, I like him because, you know, he's one of these players that you can just tell he leaves it all out there. He works really hard, but... Yeah, I think as Rick was saying, I don't think he is good enough for Arsenal, unfortunately. I think he will be moved.
Yeah. I'm slightly more worried about Martinelli, Josh, really. I mean, he came on yesterday, but Arteta seems to be reluctant to give him much game time, doesn't he? And as you said, you know, we were all like, I mean, maybe foolishly, but we were all like, you know, praying for his return and putting a lot of emphasis on the fact that he could help us massively. But now I feel like Emile Smith Rowe's, what's happened with Emile Smith Rowe's kind of obscured the fact that Martinelli has not been a presence.
Did you say he came on yesterday? He didn't come on yesterday.
Didn't he? Oh.
No, I don't think he came on.
I dreamt he did.
I would have liked to have.
Yeah, would have been nice to have come on. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he's ready to unleash him on Thursday. Thursday is just so interesting. I've only just noticed it's a 5 to 6 game. So a quick one after the working day ends for you, although your working day, Boyd, is till about 8 p.m. usually with your celebs you have to do podcasts with. So yeah. I hope you'll be able to get yourself away to watch on your HD TV and probably whatever freebies you've been sent to watch the game with.
Thanks. You're right. I foolishly fantasized that Martinelli came on. I think I was just, it just seemed such an obvious thing to bring him on that I can't believe that he didn't actually bring him on.
No. So Benfica, I looked at this, they made six changes. I think that tells you, you know where their priorities lie, and they really, you know, did change it up. They had a very disappointing draw against a relegation threatened team. So I'm nervous because do you remember? I mean, turning up to that game at Olympiacos, the home game, and there was no nerves. We were in like a good little period. Just thought, yeah, we'll be all right. It was crushing. It was like such a low moment. And obviously, none of us are going to be in a stadium in the middle of Athens. But it's really concerning. I do think we're going to get through though, Boyd. I really do. I just think, you know, I can't see us missing the level of opportunities we managed to miss the other day. So I do think the season and the interest in it from a cup competition will go on. So
Would you bring the same team back, Max, that he played last week against Benfica, that in the 1-1 draw? Would you? What kind of team would you play? What kind of thing you think you'd play?
I thought it was particularly interesting how he started Tierney against City, to be honest. So I really don't know. I would like to think, I would imagine he has plans to play Cedric, given the fact he didn't play at the weekend. I will imagine we'll see a pretty similar team, because that team on the night was good enough to have beaten Benfica. And as we've said earlier, they're not the best team. So I would like to think we've got enough
in. I feel sorry. I think David Luiz will definitely come back in from the game on Sunday. And I wouldn't be too shocked to see Lacazette find a way into the starting 11. It's just huge too. Because it's starting having like bizarre, you know, thoughts today of like Arsenal and Spurs, both obviously two of the favourites really left in the competition, both unlikely or very conceivably not getting into Europe. Can you imagine if we get to like a semi-final or even a final, and it's kind of Arsenal Spurs, and not only is it to just be in you, it's to get in the Champions League and win a trophy. There could be a lot of drama yet.
Yeah, there could be. Yeah, he's got to bring Ricky. He's got to bring Ceballos back, hasn't he? With the midfield has got. I mean, if he plays that,
I play the same team he played in the first day, pretty much. Right. I mean, like I said before, I can. Except whoever he plays in that sort of front four, in the front four positions, because I think they all made their cases over the last few weeks. My bigger concern is I pray that he plays David Luiz. Gabriel's looked shaky the last couple of games, but I would still have him ahead of the other two options. I actually think he played Tierney yesterday because Tierney looked rusty against Benfica when he came on, and that he thought he needs to get some minutes in his legs. I think he'll play Tierney and Bellerin. It wouldn't shock me if he plays Cedric, but I don't think he will, because I think Cedric is firmly the backup. But I don't want to talk about Xhaka because I get angry. But
wait a minute, look, just quickly on Xhaka. Hasn't Xhaka played well recently?
He's been a lot better,
hasn't he? To be fair, the worst
signing of my lifetime.
Wow.
Of any club, of any football.
Wow.
He's played
worse than Mustafi.
Because he's played so many more times than Mustafi.
Oh, okay.
Everyone sort of wrote him off, he was a joke figure. Xhaka has played, even, you know what killed me was when I read an interview of Xhaka, I think it was around Christmas, and said that he was going to leave last January and Arteta convinced him to stay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't believe it. I thought
but he's playing forward passes now, isn't he? Isn't he? Let's be fair to it. Max is a lot better. Max, what's your feeling about Xhaka?
I feel like because we've had nearly four years of Granit Xhaka, we're modelling Granit Xhaka performances on bad Granit Xhaka. Yeah, and he's not been good enough. Like he's still been so substandard for what you would pay 4 years ago, 37.5 million for a centre mid. Like, for a, like, he's got his qualities where, yeah, he can deliver an all right pass out to left foot, but he can't take it on the turn. Like, and even I'll go back to the Benfica game. Like, was it 1 minute to half time?
Yeah.
How many times does he just get dispossessed on the edge of the box? Things like that. We're so used to seeing it. Like, and the only time, like. I'm sorry, I'm getting a bit agitated. Nah, like
hyperventilating, just thinking about Xhaka. Yeah.
Everything Max said, 100%.
It's just so many times we've seen it, haven't we? Like, and if the opposition don't capitalize on those mistakes, he'll still have had a good game. But people forget about those things.
I think you know, the injury to Partey, again, that is part of my Arteta's unlucky theory, because I think we would have seen a lot less of Xhaka if Partey had been consistently fit. And I really do think that. And I know he played him with Partey quite a lot. But equally, I think Partey and Ceballos would have been a decent, much better midfield.
But boys, you can talk about luck, and then you only have to look at Liverpool and to start thinking about, you know, what on earth they've had in terms of three key centre backs.
Oh, I know. I'm not. Oh, Liverpool,
I don't think we've had it worse than other clubs.
I'm not saying. No. I'm not saying. Injury wise, I'm just saying that I think Arteta's had bad luck on it in a number of different ways. But I think Liverpool have had the worst injury luck, of course. That's an absolute disaster.
This season, more than any other, was going to be a mix of, you know, clubs suffering from, you know, injuries being picked up. I think that was one of the things we were all warned about.
Yeah.
So what's your prediction, Boyd, for this Benfica game? Do you think we're going through?
Oh, God. I mean, anything could happen, really, couldn't it? I mean, deep down, I probably think we're going to go out.
No, I don't.
I worry that. Do you know, I have this slight... I was thinking about this yesterday with Arteta. Like, I think he's a technocrat. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's the equivalent of, like... I think he's a bit like one of those, like, European politicians. Well,
he is European, yeah.
Yeah, well, I feel he's like a politician almost sometimes. Like, he wants to... I think the way he sets the team up, I think Rick referred to it a few times. Like... I don't feel like he's going to let them off the leash, you know, ever, really. You know, they have a very like rehearsed way of playing, which I think plays into. And when they don't, like against Leeds, every now and then there was a move that was like, oh, amazing improvised move. Mm-hmm. But I almost wonder this is a long-winded way of saying, I'm not sure if he inspires the players, particularly in sometimes, you know, like I feel like, when I watched this post-match interview, I'm like, we were talking about, oh, the players just ignored my tactics. I'm like, that's interesting that you're telling us that. What does that mean? You know, have the players just ignored what you told them to do? You know, well, that's not a good sign, right? So,
well, did he say ignored? He said like it didn't implement, as in it was like...
Yeah, well, if they didn't implement it, then they ignored it, didn't they? I mean...
Well, maybe it was not deliberate.
But anyway...
But this is a very long way if you say you think we're going out.
I slightly worry, that they're not going to come up with the goods when they really need to at this moment in time. But having said that, that's my deep, deep down. I'm not going to predict that we're going to lose. I'm going to predict that we're going to go through. So make of that what you will. It's a confusing situation. I say we'll scrape through, maybe on penalties. What about you?
Oh, yeah, we'll get through. I think we'll win 2-0 and we will make it to the round of 16.
Okay. Rick,
I share your concerns. I think also that the problem is this podcast will be repeated in what 4 weeks if we do, or 3 weeks if we do go through.
It's going to be excruciating. Every tie is going to be excruciating. Isn't it? Yeah.
But can someone just confirm before I get my head around it that away goals still count in exactly the same way as normal?
Yeah,
which has to be the most
insane
any football game of all time, that they get the benefit of having 30 more minutes being able to score an away goal in a neutral ground.
Why
don't they flip it so that the team that finished top got to play the away game second in these circumstances?
I mean, none of it makes any sense, does it? I mean, it's incredible.
They have a massive advantage. They can draw 1-1 and then have half an hour where if they score one, we have to score two. But what I think the score is going to be, I think it'll be really close. I can see it going to extra time and us winning 2-1 in extra time.
Okay. Max?
I think we're going to make hard work of it. Yeah. There'll be a couple hairy moments.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You're right. That's what I meant. We'll make hard work of it. It's a brilliantly short-winded way of saying what I was dribbling on about.
We're going to make hard work of it, but I reckon we'll win 2-1.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. I think we've got enough to get through this. We sometimes turn up in the Europa League, so.
Yeah. Yeah, our record in the Europa League until we've scored goals in the Europa League, haven't we? Look, you know, that's
Dundalk's are not a great yard.
Yeah, we've played a lot. You're right. Yeah. Then we've got Leicester on Sunday at noon kickoff. Yeah. Terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Take a 1-0 defeat again, Boyd.
No.
Who are you supporting, Boyd?
Well. I mean, if Leicester lose, then maybe Brendan might, you know, might feel that it can come.
12 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, 12 o'clock, according to my...
Yeah, very short turnaround, considering we've got to get back from Athens.
It's a nightmare, isn't it? Yeah, it's a nightmare.
I feel like travel is going to play a big part in that. Mm. I do not fancy us for that one at all.
No.
I do think that's going to be a tough day at the office. They're absolutely flying as well.
But their home form isn't as good as their away form.
That's true. That is true. Yeah. Nil, I imagine. But Vardy scores against us every single fucking time we play, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, there's no way he's not going to score against us, is there?
Yeah.
It's just.
I mean, the good.
And
the
Alan Alger goes on about how, you know, we should have signed him years ago. Alan says, he's probably right. But yeah.
The good news is they also have a massive game Thursday night, albeit they're at home, but they drew 0-0. Mm. Against Prague, so there's a big game for them to worry about. I mean, it's the only thing that's positive. But yeah, to have to travel back and then have the early game on a Sunday is not ideal. I cannot see us winning, but I can sort of see us sitting here next Monday doing a podcast going, well, we got through in Europe, you know, if it was that way round, we'd probably accept it. So I just think it's gonna continue the theme of the season, which is like there's a bit of glimmer of positivity. That never means we're going to be totally deflated, but there's plenty of down points as well. I think a sort of 2-0 defeat at Leicester, sadly.
Oh. Max, did you predict a scoreline?
Oh, sorry. No.
The rules are very clear. You have to predict the scoreline.
It does reek of a 2-0 them, doesn't it? Okay. It does reek of 2-0 Leicester, so I'll go with that as well.
Ricky Lawrence.
Yeah, we've had some really bad games at Leicester recently.
We have, yeah.
I remember Maitland Niles was sent off there. We got 3-0 in one of Emery's last games. So I think it was 3-0, I'm not sure. But we did beat
them. We had a great time against them when they won the league, though, didn't we, famously?
Well, we did beat them.
We beat them in the League Cup this year.
Yeah, we did beat them in the League Cup, I was going to say. Yeah,
okay. Kennedy, I think, scored. Or,
oh, okay.
So I'm going to say we're actually going to... We're going to turn up and we're also going to win that game 2-1.
Wow. So
back-to-back 2-1 wins.
Considering you're very quite damning.
Take it with a pinch of salt. But I'm not overly disgruntled. It's just it's also not that exciting.
Yeah, I just
mildly
think...
Mildly gruntled, yeah.
Mildly, yeah.
No, again, I think we said it last week when... You know, there was a little bit of excitement about Arsenal potentially challenging, you know, 3-4 weeks ago for a place in Europe. There was just this feeling that there was a run of games coming where we were unlikely to pick up the number of points that we needed. And sadly, we're kind of going to form, aren't we, in most recent games. And, you know, we've got Leicester and then, you know, Burnley away, Tottenham at home, West Ham away. Liverpool, you just cannot. You could see us not picking up a whole lot of points. So, I'm just trying to be excited and positive about Europe and hope we can navigate our way towards certainly the latter stages.
Roll the punches.
Yeah. Did you predict the score for the Leicester game, Josh?
Yeah, I said we'd lose 2-0.
Oh yeah, 2-0. So I'm going to say I'll go for a 1-1 draw. Well, I think we've reflected realistically the state of play at Arsenal at the moment. And, you know, I think we've been scrupulously fair and accurate. Thank you to Max for coming back. And make sure you watch the rest of Behind Our Eyes.
Yeah, I will do it. Right? I'll get on.
Yeah. Yeah, Rick, give it a go, Rick. I mean, it's like it's an interesting experience. Go on.
Boyd, any final top tips for TV people should be watching as
Behind Our Eyes? That's
anything else? Anything else?
Boyd, have you seen Your Honour?
Yeah, Your Honour's decent. Yeah, Your Honour's good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's with Bryan Cranston of Breaking Bad fame, and it's a compelling story. Yes, that is, that starts this week on Sky. I think. Yeah, yeah. I would give. I've seen it. It's good. I think it's interesting. I mean, bit 10 episodes, a bit too long, but it's decent. Yeah, yeah. There you go. Good point. That's my recommendation.
Thanks, Boyd.
Thank you all very much, and we'll be back next week. Cheers. Bye.
This is a Playback Media production. To listen to all our football podcasts, visit playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.